Grace to all of you and peace from God, our Father, our Lord, and our Savior, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit, who is active here in our midst this evening. Amen. Who was the guilty? Who brought this upon thee? Alas, my treason, Jesus, hath undone thee. 'Twas I, Lord Jesus, I it was denied thee. I crucified thee. We just sang that song from the hymn, Ah, Holy Jesus. It's one of my favorite hymns to sing because it brings home the point of why Jesus' death matters to us today, in our time. Jesus died for us, for me and for you, because we're no different than the Jews at that time who were shouting, Crucify. We're no different than his disciples who abandoned him or betrayed him or ran away 2,000 years ago. He died for sinners, and we are some of the worst. But you might say, I thought we didn't want to be sinners. Isn't that one of the reasons we come to church? To encourage one another, to follow God's commands, to become disciples of Jesus, to live a holy life? Sure, of course. And yet, before we ever learn to follow Jesus, we have to admit why we need him in the first place. Because we're sinners. And even after we become disciples of Jesus, we never get past our need for him because we are sinners. We have to keep reminding ourselves who we are. Sinners, and who Jesus is, our Savior. As you spend more time as a disciple of Jesus, it's really quite easy to become self-righteous. Being self-righteous simply means trusting in your own abilities to be a good person instead of trusting in God's power to save you. You see, disciples of Jesus don't actually get any better at following the rules. I mean, we might get better at looking holy to the rest of the world. We might become better citizens and all of that, and that's all good stuff. But from God's perspective, he's looking for faith, not good deeds. He still sees us for what we are, no matter how many times we go to church, or how much we give, or how much we pray, or how many people we serve. Romans 4 says, But to the one who does not work but trusts God who justifies the ungodly, their faith is credited as righteousness. We get better at relying on Jesus to save us. In the Gospel of Luke, Jesus told this parable to some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everyone else. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood up by himself and prayed, God, I thank you that I am not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Who do you usually want to be in this scenario? The Pharisee or the tax collector? Don't we spend most of our lives striving to be more like the Pharisee, trying to do better than others, look better than others, be better than others? But Jesus makes it clear he always wants us to be more like the tax collector. Jesus said, I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. Of course, we're called to turn away from our sin and follow God's commands. But it's when we confess that we are sinners, that's what brings us closest to God's heart. Now, I've had disagreements with Christians from other denominations at times about this very issue. After we've been saved by Jesus, do we stay sinners? Should we still call ourselves sinners? Sometimes the Lutheran way of talking about this stuff is seen as very negative, maybe even a little depressing. Shouldn't we want to get better? Shouldn't we have a higher opinion of ourselves? Shouldn't we be a little more encouraging of our free will and let our little lights shine? The Lutheran response has always been to just go back to Scripture and point out that no matter how high a view of ourselves that we have, no matter how much we learn about following God's law, no matter how much we want to get better and let our little lights shine, we're still just sinners in need of a Savior every day. Isaiah 64 says, "All of us have become like one who is unclean, and all of our righteous acts are like filthy rags." Notice, it's not our evil acts, it's our good acts that are the problem. Or what about Paul's confession in the 7th chapter of the book of Romans? "I don't understand what I do. For what I want to do, I don't do that. But what I hate, that's the stuff I do." Even after Paul became a Christian, sin was at work in him, even against his own will. Doesn't that ring true in your life? I mean, it certainly rings true to me. Every week during the confession, we say these words from 1 John chapter 1. "If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us." Finally, we recognize that no matter how much good we might do, we just never get any closer to perfection before God. Why? Well, because we're not doing anything remarkable. We're not getting extra credit. In Luke chapter 17, Jesus says this, "So you also, when you have done everything you were told to do, should say, 'We're unworthy servants. We've only done our duty.'" We're still sinners. Following all of God's laws, that's the basic expectation. And yet, even on our best day, we could never accomplish that. "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." But here's where I think things get really interesting and a little exciting. Once you confess that you're a sinner through and through, that you've never been any more, and that you're never going to be any more than that, well, then Jesus' death on the cross starts to look pretty encouraging, because it's only as sinners that we could call a day like today Good Friday. Jesus said that he did not come for the righteous, but for the unrighteous. Not for the healthy, but for the sick. He said that he came to seek and save the lost. That's when your ears should start perking up. When you realize that your confession of sin is the key that opens up your ears to hear Christ's love for you, you start just getting antsy to hear it. I believe the best part of the service is when you hear that your sins are forgiven on account of Jesus Christ. The rest of the songs, the sermon, those are just the side dishes. Forgiveness is the main course. A Lutheran professor of mine once wrote, "The cross is, in the first instance, God's attack on human sin." Now, that might sound threatening at first. He's attacking you? But it also starts sounding like good news when you realize that that's the only way that you're going to find freedom. Not through your own effort, but if someone from outside of you attacks the sin that's so much a part of your life. It's a relief to hear that the remedy for curing sin and the sinful desires we have does not lie in satisfying those desires or in domesticating those desires, but in extinguishing them. The best we can do here on earth with sin is to tame it, to lock it in a cage and try to keep it under control for a while. But it's always there, prowling around, just waiting to break loose and cause all kinds of trouble. Jesus, on the other hand, speaks of freedom in terms of death and life. Consider yourself dead to sin, but alive to God. I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Now, we never become proud of our sin. We don't feel good about being sinners. We're just able to be brutally honest about it, about our situation, our dilemma, and our hope. We become excited about telling the truth of our condition because we know what comes next: forgiveness, love, salvation, resurrection. We no longer pity Jesus on the cross because we recognize that he was put up there for us. We call tonight Good Friday because we know it was because of the goodness of God that he was willing to give his life for us. We confess our sins tonight. We repent of our sins tonight. And we look with hope at the only one who can save us from ourselves and save us from our sin. Therefore, kind Jesus, since I cannot pay thee, I do adore thee and will ever pray thee. Think on thy pity and thy love unswerving, not my deserving. Amen.